Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport 2, myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon. If you love your boxing and your MMA, then this is obviously the show for you. Fight Night Extra for myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis, where we discuss all the latest from the world of combat sports. Biggie week, big weekend to recap. Today, we're going to look back on a huge night in Abu Dhabi as Dimitri Bivol reinstated his claims as the fighter of the year for 2022 with another impressive display, this time beating the unbeaten Gilberto Zurdo Ramirez. We'll discuss what's next for the fearsome Russian, a rematch with Canelo, maybe at 168, that's been mentioned, as well as a much-anticipated unification bout with Artur Beterbiev. What do you do if you can Dimitri Bivol? We'll discuss it with Gareth. Chantel Cameron had a night to remember. She unified all the belts at super lightweight with a win over Jessica McCaskill, and I'm delighted to say that she'll be joining us live very shortly. We'll also chat about another big fight this weekend for Tasha Jonas and Floyd Mayweather's latest exhibition. He takes on Deji, the brother of YouTube star KSI.
For your winner, by unanimous decision, he's still undefeated and still the WBO light heavyweight champion of the world, Dimitri Bivol!
It's a dream come true for Chantel Cameron, who now becomes the undisputed super lightweight champion of the world.
Check the temperature. You seem like a pretty cool guy, and your brother, he's a pretty cool guy, and I want you guys to continue to build your following on your social media platforms. You guys are doing a hell of a job.
Floyd, as he called it, is just robbing the bank. He says he's robbing the bank without a pistol. That's what he said. That's what Floyd said. This is how easy this is for him. He takes on Deji, younger brother of KSI, this weekend in Dubai. It's on Sunday, by the way. A lot of people think that fight's on Saturday. Let's welcome in the great Gareth A. Davis to the show. Busy weekend ahead, busy weekend to look back on. Let's start with the weekend just gone in Abu Dhabi. Headlined by Dimitri Bivol versus Zurdo Ramirez. The unbeaten, someone's always got to go. That's what slogan was being thrown around the whole weekend. Bivol just looked on another level, if I'm honest with you, Gareth. From the very first round, looked like this is a guy that was going through the gears and I think had more gears if Zurdo caused him any problems.
Yeah, he was very comfortable in there, wasn't he, Addy? Dimitri Bivol, as you rightly pointed out at the top of the show, I think he's definitely very highly in contention as the fighter of the year. A couple of amazing performances, of course, against Canelo and now against Ramirez. There was kind of some element saying that Zurdo Ramirez's record was slightly padded, but he's a very, very decent fighter. I've seen him several times live. But Bivol, like you say, just looked a class above. You know, there's levels in this sport, and he was the level above. He boxed when he wanted to box. He fought when he wanted to fought. He was always one step ahead. And I found Ramirez, as the fight went on, actually mentally more exhausted than physically broken. He just could not find a way into the fight. And where does it send Bivol? I would love to see the undisputed fight with Artur Beterbiev, who holds the other three belts, of course, rather than the Canelo rematch. Obviously, for him, a Canelo rematch will afford him more money. Because it's a bigger event, and he will take that if it's on offer, I'm sure. But when I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, or going into fight week last week, he said he wanted to unify the division or become undisputed. Yeah. And I give him a very good chance against Beterbiev, because it may genuinely be bull against the matador in this fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's the ultimate test for him, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And look, I guess either side, he's got shots at being undisputed in two weight classes, because there's a lot of talk in Abu Dhabi that if he does fight Canelo, it will have to be at 168. Like, Canelo doesn't want to do 175, and there's been questions whether or not Bivol can make 168. He's not the biggest light heavyweight, especially when I look at the likes of Callum Johnson and Beterbiev and even Callum Smith in there as well. So, I mean, you've got undisputed at 168, more money, maybe bigger fight because it is Canelo, or do you go undisputed 175, Beterbiev, less money, but maybe when it's all said and done, a bigger fight in terms of that's harder. Like, what would you do? Like, what would you advise him to do?
Money.
Money. All the time.
Money. Where he is in his career, money. Fight Canelo again. He's got nothing to lose because he's going to have to weight drain, but he's got nothing to lose if he loses to Canelo. I think he's got Canelo's number anyway.
Yeah.
He's just put on a better performance than he did against Canelo. Canelo will come rejuvenated and reinvigorated against him, but Bivol is in his brilliant patch right now. So, I mean, what is he? 29, 30? Yeah. I would take the money.
Gareth, is he a special fighter? Look, you've been covering the sport for 30 years. When you look at Bivol, do you feel like you're watching a special fighter or just a very good fighter, elite fighter? But is he special?
He's starting to remind me of Andre Ward.
Good shout.
Who always had the blueprint for whoever he stepped in against, whether he got knocked down, whether he had to find a different way. The second time he ever fought anyone, he was better. When he fought Kovalev.
Yeah.
Sergei Kovalev, he was so much better in the second fight. It was a close first fight. I was at both fights. He reminds me of Andre Ward, and he's just coming into that period. Bivol has been on our radar for a while because of all the light heavyweights in the UK, from Craig Richards, who fought him and lost him unanimously on points, to Joshua Buatsi and Anthony Yard and all those other guys that you mentioned there. But he is now, this is what happens. Sometimes people start to signal their greatness, and he started on that journey now. And he clearly belongs in the pound-for-pound list.
Yeah, he certainly does. Look, we're going to talk about what next for him and other stuff with Dimitri Bivol as well. Chantel Cameron's going to join us next, the now undisputed champ at 140 pounds. I thought she was comfortable in that fight. Comfortable is the wrong word. I thought she was winning the fight quite convincingly for the first five or six, and then Jessica McCaskill's sort of just strength and will made it slightly interesting. But overall, I thought it was a very, very good performance from Chantel Cameron against a very awkward Jessica McCaskill, like very, just almost Mary McGee like, just nothing was normal. The way in which she was throwing punches was strange. Yeah. I don't know how you find sparring for that. So I thought Chantel done well to adjust throughout the fight.
She did. It was like fighting. It's like Popeye's had some spinach when she fights.
Yeah.
And she just lets her arms go and she flails herself all over the place. I thought Cameron kept her shapes better. And she was looking to time McCaskill. McCaskill looked wild at times and kind of just caution to the wind. Mm. I think Cameron's a really solid fighter. It's brilliant now we've got an undisputed light welterweight champion, an undisputed middleweight champion, an undisputed super middleweight champion, and an undisputed lightweight champion all in the women's divisions. Are there more? Because I'm talking HH Diva, Franchon Cruz de Cern, Clarissa Shields, now Chantel Cameron, Katie Taylor. It's brilliant for women's boxing, frankly. Yeah,
and we're so close to others. I mean, think Alicia Baumgartner's got three.
Yeah.
Troy is the next one. Tasha Jonas, Terry Harper. Like, we're very close to a couple more in the division as well. And I guess that's what it should be. There almost seems to be this thing brewing of UK versus the US. Like all the matchups seem to be that, which is very good as well, which obviously helps to sell the fight. A quick word on Zelfa Barrett. I thought he was very brave against Shavkat Rakhimov.
Yeah.
Nearly pulled off the upset, right? Had Rakhimov down. And in the end, and I spoke to Zelfa last night, in the end, it was only a five-week fight camp. And maybe didn't have that X factor in his punches to keep Rakhimov off, because Rakhimov just kept on going forward. And I think after round four or five, it just seemed inevitable that Rakhimov was going to get to him.
It was just that fight for him, as we've seen with many other people down the years. He just lacked that tiny bit of experience.
Good shot.
Getting himself through those last few rounds, knowing that he was ahead. And not experience because he's got Pat Barrett in the corner, who really knows the sport inside out, but not having the experience of having gone there before. If he was in that situation again, he might have been able to get on his bike for a little bit, have a round or two where he boxed. You know, it was one of the performances of the night. I know that Eddie Hearn was very kind to him afterwards and said, the under fire Eddie Hearn, by the way, who's feeling the heat at the moment, I think.
Certainly is.
From not cancelling that fight between Ben and Eubank. We won't stop talking about it until he comes out and says, you know, I made a big mistake there. When Eddie admits he's made a big mistake, then we know it won't happen again. But I think he was very kind to Zelfa to say it was the performance of the night, because Zelfa was so close. He never, ever gave up when he was struggling towards the end of that contest. And it just showed a champion's heart. So he was very unlucky.
Yeah, very, very unlucky. And look, again, I think he shows that he's close to that level, maybe at that level. And again, it's small things at the really highest level, small things that I'm sure him and Pat we'll go back and look at the tape and work on. Floyd fights this weekend in Dubai on a Sunday. Takes on Deji. We are going to be hearing from Deji that you spoke with very, very shortly. Just in terms of Deji, how is he? Is he excited? Is he nervous? I mean, does he realise who he's fighting? Like, what's his mindset going into this one?
Well, I was with the pair of them, Deji and Mayweather. They're not a very likely pairing.
at
the York Hall Bethnal Green on Friday night. And Tommy Fury and Jack Fincham and all these other guys. Anthony Taylor making a lot of noise. John Fury taking his jacket off at one point. God knows what he would have done to Anthony Taylor if he'd got his hands on him. There might have been limbs all over at the York Hall. But I think it was a lot of parody and a lot of fun. Deji's very laid back. I went to interview him in his dressing room, as well as having him on the show on Saturday night, which was fantastic, on Talk Sports Fight Night Show. I know we're going to hear from him in a minute. But yeah, I think he's pinching himself. I think he almost can't believe that he's, you know, in an exhibition bout with Floyd Mayweather. And I tried to put it to Floyd that, you know, Deji's got 10.7. I said 10.2 on Saturday night. He said, no, it's 10.7. I was 500,000 subscribers out, I hasten to add, naughty me. But those 10.7 million followers are going to see a master in Floyd Mayweather. Like you say, Mayweather's on about robbing the bank with no pistol. He isn't really, because what he's doing is he's showcasing skills that go back 30 years or 35 years, 37 years. He started boxing when he was 5, 6, 7. So what do I make of it? It's a bit of fun. I'm glad Floyd's involved. Floyd's a legend in the sport. He's the greatest I've ever seen live.
Agreed. Agreed. 100%.
And long may it rain. And he also kind of let slip on Friday night that he's talking with Keane. I can't remember Keane's surname now, his agent here from Front Row, from the company Front Row, about having an exhibition in the UK next year.
Yeah,
and given that Ricky Hatton's fighting, Marco Antonio Barrera on Saturday night, I know we'll talk about that a bit later. Does Floyd against Ricky work in an exhibition? Maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
I don't think Floyd's going to want to fight that type of fighter anymore. I think he looked at this YouTube scene and thought, I can clear up here.
Yeah.
That anyone with 20 million followers, I can get in the ring and fight. And you know what? Someone said to me, why is Floyd and Ricky still fighting? I'm like, well, if you think of every other sports star, there is like the senior tours, don't they? They want to continue to do it. Boxers, unfortunately, can't. So Floyd thinks, you know what?
Yeah.
I can do this without getting hurt. I can get in the ring, big audience, and he enjoys doing it. So as long as he's fighting guys like this, I'm okay with it. When it gets serious and you're fighting guys that are professional boxers that are maybe coming to the end, that I really don't want to see. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, Chantel Cameron will join us. Really looking forward to speaking to her. And we're going to hear from Deji, the younger brother of KSI, who fights Floyd Mayweather this weekend in Dubai, live on DAZN pay-per-view. Next up, though, we're going to map out what's next for one of the finest fighters in the world at the moment, a certain Dimitri Bivol.
For your winner, by unanimous decision, he's still undefeated and still the WBA light heavyweight champion of the world, Dimitri Bivol!
Well done to Mr. David Diamante. Happy birthday to David Diamante as well. 51 today. I don't know how he kept going with his voice. He kept complaining throughout the night about my voice. And at one stage, they were looking at me. I was like, well, what are you doing? I have no way am I getting in that ring to do that. But he carried on, soldiered through it. And as you heard there, he announced Dimitri Bivol was the winner. And it was a comfortable victory in the end. Never comfortable in boxing, but, you know, in terms of the scorecards, comfortable for Dimitri Bivol. I think we're looking at a special fight. I have to be honest with you, Gareth, I've slept on. Look, we saw him against Joe Smith. I saw him against Craig Richards. And I thought, okay, he's good. But I didn't see special. And now I watch him. His hands are so loose. His feet are great. He's got respectable punch power. I saw Gilberto Ramirez at times have him on the ropes. And I was thinking, okay, go on, Gilberto. This is your chance. He was scared to unload because he was fear of the counter. He can do everything. He's a complete boxer. I don't know what he can't do. And I like that. I like that going forward, because I think for him now going forward, it's a case of being pound for pound number one, undisputed at either weight class. The future's bright. The future's Bivol.
Yeah, I mean, he was brilliant. It was a brilliant Bivol that we saw on Saturday night. And one of the reasons why you have been sleeping on him is because he doesn't shout and scream, and he doesn't, if he's lacking one thing, it's the ability to sell himself, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't over celebrate. He's very Eastern European in that way. Obviously, I think he's half Kazakh and half Korean, isn't he?
I think it is Korean, yeah. I think it's half Korean, half Kazakh.
Mum's Korean. He's a very, very contained character. He loves the sport. He's been doing it since he was a little boy. Had a lovely chat to him about that in Fight Week. And he's always been in love with boxing. He reminds me, he's got a very similar attitude to boxing that Gennady Golovkin's got, in my view. Mm. Carries himself with the same air, actually. But I don't disagree with you. He could be headed to the top of the pound-for-pound list, along with, I think, Shakur Stevenson, who I'm kind of nailed my colours to the mast with. But, yeah, it was just a brilliant performance. The timing, the meticulousness with which he does things, the comfort. When a boxer looks so comfortable in there, obviously the first few rounds are always a bit of a struggle, and, you know, they're trying to find their feet and their range and all those things. But once he'd settle into a rhythm in that fight, it was a masterclass. You have to call it a masterclass. Because Ramirez is a dangerous fighter and a southpaw, of course. And he dealt with all of those angles and everything. So, yeah, hats off to him. And like you say, the thing now is the future pick for him. Eddie Hearn wants him to fight Canelo, obviously, because that's a massive draw.
Yeah.
And a big, big fight with Canelo trying to avenge defeat. And Canelo feeling he won that first fight. But it's good if he goes down to 168, because it opens his options. And what we've seen from Bivol this year, I give him more and more chance against Beterbiev, who's quite limited but very powerful. Mm. So the key in that fight, and he is a bigger guy, I know they're in the same weight class, but the key with Beterbiev is to beat him to the punch and then reset and move, which he's very capable of doing. He could do that for 12 rounds.
Yeah, he didn't look like he was blowing at the end of the fight. No. He's got this very almost poker face where even if he's tagged, you don't see a reaction to it. Yeah. And I think it was a good test for him on Saturday, because look, although Gilberto has campaigned at 168, he's a lot bigger than Bivol, a lot bigger. Yeah. And he wasn't afraid to kind of get in there with the bigger man, and at times, you know, start throwing hands, and that risk of a counter coming back, he was welcomed and warmed to it. I asked him, like, why Like, he was so confident fight week. And I said, look, why are you so confident? Like, almost bordering on arrogance. And he looked at me and said, well, I've been doing it since I was six.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I understood. As soon as he said that, I didn't need to kind of follow up. I was like, I get it. You've been doing it since you were six. So it's all so natural to you, where you see a lot of fighters and you almost feel like they're thinking all the time. Like, oh, what have I got to do next? For him, it's just so, almost Lomachenko, just so easy. Usyk, so easy. I've been doing it since I was six.
Look, he does make it look easy. And I've got to say at this point, I've just remembered that I'm really excited about a fight that's just being made at super middleweight. Mm. Caleb Plant and David Benavidez, because that's a fight that's really going to be a rock'em sock'em robot fight.
And yeah,
I think David Benavidez is one of the overlooked guys in that super middleweight division right now. I'd like to see Canelo in against him, by the way, as well. I think that's a great fight if that can be made. I don't know if you rate Benavidez.
I certainly do. I do, and happy you said that, because I asked Oscar about, like, because initially, obviously, I said, look, Oscar, if Gilberto beats if Gilberto beats Bivol, will you try and make Gilberto versus Canelo? And he said, well, you know, Canelo has already made excuses about not fighting Mexicans, which we know we've heard Canelo say in the past. So as excited I am about Benavidez, it looks like Canelo might be sticking to the I don't fight Mexicans thing. But I think Benavidez is one of those fighters that could go up to 175 very, very soon. Again, another very, very big super middleweight. And I make him favourite against Caleb Plant. I think he's got a bit of everything. I know he had problems outside the ring a few years ago. He seems to have sorted all those things out now. So, yeah, I think Benavidez is a great shout. Look, we're getting good matchups. May not be getting the matchups we want, but we're getting good matchups.
We are, and you've got to look. Gilberto Ramirez was the mandatory. He was number one ranked fighter in the WBA. What is it? WBA.
Yeah.
So, what I am fascinated by at the moment is Boatsy's two there. Dan Aziz is three. Yard is nine. Richards is 10, and Callum Smith in the WBC. One, Joshua Boatsy at two, Anthony Yard at three, Dan Aziz at nine, Callum Johnson at 10. I can go down the others. Anthony Yard is three with the IBF. We've got a group and one with WBO. We've got a group of British boxers coming towards those guys who are going to have to meet them at some point as well, by the way. You know?
You mentioned Boatsy there. Obviously, he was ringside, and you know, he's done a lot of interviews saying that, you know, Bivol's good, but I saw mistakes and openings. Yard's got to take on Beterbiev in February. We don't know what's going to happen. Injuries. Beterbiev seems to be picking up injuries. Canelo's hand surgery. We don't know if he's going to be fully ready for May. Could Boatsy be the stopgap fight? And I feel disrespectful saying that, because Boatsy deserves a bit more than just being a stopgap fight. But could Bivol think, you know what? Whilst I'm waiting to see what happens with a Canelo or Beterbiev, I could come to London and fight Boatsy, or I could do an Abu Dhabi again.
Yeah, if they can make enough money out of it and make it a big enough fight, then it is viable. Mm-hmm. And I think Boatsy gives him a very, very good challenge, as good as anyone in that division, really, mm-hmm. apart from Beterbiev right now. I mean, yes, because Boatsy is super tough.
Super,
And he's, you know, we don't know until he reaches that level how much he's got in him, and he might have it in him. We don't know yet. Because Joshua, again, is exactly the same size as Bivol.
Yep.
Incredibly strong physically. Very, very determined. He might... We'll say this about Joshua forever, but he's Joshua Boatsy, but he's had a slow burn since the Rio Olympics in 2016, where he won the bronze. But it might be his time, and he might get that shout. And if Eddie wants to do it, he will. But I know that he wants the Canelo fight for Bivol, doesn't he? And he's come out publicly and said that, you know?
He certainly has. All right, you're listening to Fight Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, Chantel Cameron will join us. We're going to hear also from Floyd Mayweather and Deji. The pair meet in a shock. And it is a shock exhibition fight this weekend in Dubai. Next up, though, we're going to be joined by the new Unified Super Lightweight Champion.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come.
And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The winner by unanimous decision and the new undisputed super lightweight champion of the world, Chantel Il Capo Cameron.
It's a dream come true for Chantel Cameron.
It certainly was a dream come true. It's weird though, I was ringside and I was looking at Chantel as the scorecards are being read out and she's almost like praying, eyes were closed. And I was like, you shouldn't be nervous, you've won this easy. But I then thought, okay, wait, I get it. It's Jack Cattrall, Jamie Moore, and where they thought they'd won and beat Josh Taylor, and you just don't know. You just never know when it comes to the judges. But she got the decision. She's now the undisputed champ at 140 pounds. And now, well, it's big fight after big fight after big fight. That's what we want. Chantel Cameron joins us now. Shan, how's the face a bit? Is the nose still, you know, not looking great and the mouth a bit puffy?
Sorry, what's that?
I said, how's the face looking a bit? I mean, when I saw you yesterday, you know, you looked a bit bruised up. Is it starting to heal? Is it getting worse?
It's getting worse now. It's still swollen. It's still sore. And it's starting to, like, get a bit irritating now because I've got the plaster on. I've not took it off because my skin's, like, flapping. So, bit nasty, yeah.
Has it all sunk in, Chan? Like, you've got back home. I've seen the pictures of you with the belt and the belt in the bed. And you're obviously back home now and you've been around friends and family that maybe couldn't have travelled. Has it all sunk in that you are undisputed? Like, that's it now. You've got all the belts in the division, plus the Ring Magazine belt. I mean, me and Tony were doing our top five pound for pound. You're in our top five now as well. Like, all these accolades are going to come your way. Has that all sunk in?
No, it's definitely not sunk in. I think I only got back yesterday as well, so I've done a lot of travelling. And it just still doesn't feel real yet. I think some of my team, some of that have been texting me saying, it's not sunk in. I'm thinking, not sunk in for me, even I'm the one that's fighting. So I think it's going to take a couple of days for it to really sink in, like what's happened. For me, it's just, I'm just tired because of the travelling, the whole come down of the fight. But yeah, I'm absolutely over the moon though, because I feel like I've proved myself now. I've proved myself that I'm one of the best female fighters there is in the UK and world.
Can I ask you, Addy just mentioned there about towards the end of the fight, it looked like you were praying. I mean, did you not know you'd won the fight? I was watching it doing the TalkSport fight night in the studio and you'd clearly won the fight. Did you not realise that?
You know what it is, Gareth? It's the fact that it's boxing and I've had, in the amateurs, I've had enough experience where I've won every round. Obviously, in the amateurs, it's four rounds where I've beat the girl around the ring from pillar to post and I've not got the decision. And you've seen some decisions lately in boxing where it has gone the other way, so I didn't want to be like a one-on-one where you don't know what the judges are looking for, and you can feel confident in the ring and feel like, oh yeah, I'm winning this, but then you don't get the decision. So it was such a big fight for me where I didn't know if I'd won or not, and obviously because I'm not looking at it from the outside, I'm in the ring fighting. I thought, have I done enough or have I lost this? So I was panicking. Yeah, my heart was racing to the dozen.
We know that you've got power and you can rely on that. Were you going into that fight expecting it to be the swinging for the fences fight that it ended up being?
Yeah, we planned for it. We knew what was expecting, because even Jamie said it's going to be really hard to get sparring of that style. So it was hard. It's very hard to prepare for Justin McCaskill, because he was saying, like, you can't say to the lads, oh, go running at Chantel and do this, do that, because the lads have got to walk into shots then as well. So it weren't really going to be fair on him to tell the boys in the gym to do that to me. And then other girls, sparring Amara Taylor, like, her style, she's bigger and she's more technical, but she's not that wild style and not headbutting and throwing each other around and stuff. So it's got one of the fights you can't prepare for. I think it's just, you just got to grit your teeth and you just got to start strong and finish strong. So just all in my head when I was in the fight is make sure I land the shot.
Yeah.
And when she throws, make sure I finish the punch out. Because then I thought to myself, as long as I do that, then hopefully the judges are going to favour me.
I thought what was very impressive, Addy, Chantel, is you fought with your eyes up the whole time. And yeah. She wasn't. She was hoping for punches at time.
Was also the game plan. Is the whole camp? It was actually Nigel mainly. It was whacking me around the head with the pads, saying eyes open. So
yeah,
we were prepared for that. So even just doing pad work and that, I was getting beaten up a bit if I'd like switched off or started like dropping my guard or something. So for the whole 12 weeks, it was very focused on keeping my eyes wide open and being very aware that anything could be thrown at any time.
You did it.
How strong was she, Shan? Like, those last couple of rounds, she looked like she started to get a third or fourth wind, and she looked like she was imposing that strength for the last couple at least. Was she stronger than you expected? I know you'd been sparring guys in the lead up to this, so obviously you've been manhandled and you're used to that strength, but was she a bit stronger than you thought?
I knew she was going to be strong anyway, because I've seen her, like, what she's done to other opponents. I've seen what she's done to Katie. Yeah, I can't remember. I think it's 4 years ago or something.
Yeah.
So I watched that fight and thought, poor, like, that's the first time you've seen Katie really get a bit hurt in the ring. And so I knew that. And then obviously I've seen her with other opponents, Cecilia Brackhouse, and can't remember her last opponent's name, where she put on the stool. So I knew that she was powerful. But I think it's more, it's not her power, it's her relentlessness. I think she overwhelms people. And the last few rounds, I was thinking, oh, God, like, she just keeps running at me and keeps coming. And I think I was shocked at how fit she was, because we thought she was going to tire. We thought, I'm going to pick a move, make her miss and make her pay. And I was going to take the sting out of her. And we were shocked that she did keep coming at me. I think that's what was shocked. She was powerful, but she wasn't like knockout power. I think there was a couple of headbutts that hurt me. But punch-wise, it was just, I just adapted to it, I think. I think I took some good shots, and I think they weren't like, stop me in my tracks kind of shots.
Going forward, let's done now. You're undisputed, and let's move on to what next. I saw your tweet that you put out, March 17th. Let's get it on, Katie Taylor, Croke Park. That's what you want, right? There are two big options. There's Katie Taylor, and fingers crossed you're in the sweepstakes for that. And then there's Jessica McCaskill's belts at 147. So you've got a couple of really big options there. Obviously, Katie Taylor's the one you want. Has there been anything whatsoever from Eddie? Like, you know what? If it's not Serrano, it could be you.
Not to me, direct, no. I think Eddie said in an interview or something that if... so I think he said something about the winner of me and McCaskill. If Serrano doesn't fight, then the winner of me and McCaskill gets Katie Taylor. But to be honest, I've heard that a few times. If I do this, I get Katie Taylor. If I do that, I get Katie Taylor. So it's nothing new to me. I'm just throwing my name in the hat so that if the opportunity is there and the ad for someone, then people know, look, I'm there and I'm willing to step in. And I think now I've got the credentials to be able to take that fight, because I'm an undisputed champion, whereas there's been times where it's like, I'm not a world champion, so you have to be a world champion to fight Katie. Then I've become a world champion and the fight didn't happen. And then it was, if you win undisputed, you get to fight Katie. And now I'm undisputed. So I'm like, here I am. I'm still here. I'm doing everything that's asked of me. So I think I deserve the shot now.
Do you think you've got the blueprint? I mean, I think Tasha Jonas and Delphine Pasoon has shown with Katie that if you could draw her into a toe-to-toe battle, she can't avoid it. Do you know what I mean? Do you feel you've got the style to do that to her as well?
I think that's why the fight's not happened.
I don't
People
think you're wrong.
Know that I've got a good workmate. I'll come forward. I'll take a shot to give a shot. And I think I'm bigger and stronger than Katie. I think Katie's boxing is excellent. She's definitely a more skillful boxer than me. That's without question. But I think strength and power-wise and my fitness, I think I'll get the win over Katie. I think I'll hurt her and I think I'll overwhelm her.
You've always said that to me. You've got the professional style, the fighter's style over her amateur style. I remember you saying that to me in Central London one day when we talked, you know?
What was it like, and we'll end on this one as well, Shen, being out there, Abu Dhabi, the experience, obviously look, they're trying to grow the sport in those regions, especially female boxing, which just hasn't really been, it's been non-existent, let's be honest. You were the first ever female world champion in that Middle Eastern region. You done that, you ticked that box. So talk to me about that, and just the experience of being out there, the hot weather, the food. I was out there, it was really nice, right? It was fun. What was your experience like?
Yeah, I think just the fact that I've become undisputed champion is unbelievable, but the fact that I've made history with it, not just making history, become undisputed world champion, me and McCaskill, we made history having the first championship female fight in Abu Dhabi. So I've made history twice in one fight, and I've never done that before. So that's to me, that's going to be something I'm always going to remember, and I'm always going to love Abu Dhabi now, because I think it's become my favourite country now, I think, because it's just going to be good memories there. But the whole fight week we had, me and my team, you see us, we was laughing, we was joking, I was relaxed, and I think that was another victory to my win, is the fact that the whole week I was in the biggest fight of my life, and you would have thought I was there on holiday. And I think that had the biggest impact on my performance as well, because my team, they do make sure that they're very good at making sure that we don't overthink, we don't panic, we don't put pressure on ourselves. Especially with Nigel and Jamie, like, they're just always messing about, mucking about. And
everyone had their belts tight around Nigel. Everyone was scared, thinking, Nigel, don't do this to us in the Middle East. Please do not do it. A quick word on Jamie Moore. I think, and look, you probably heard me ask him yesterday, like, do you care that you're not getting the respect that I think he does deserve to get? Like, every time everyone talks about trainers, you always hear that, you know, the Adam Booths come up. No one really mentions Jamie Moore and the job him and Nigel Travis doing. How good is he?
Do you know what? Jamie Moore, like, he's I say it to everyone, the best thing about Jamie Moore is he doesn't want credit, and he deserves the credit, but he doesn't want it. He generally doesn't want it. So there's other coaches and stuff that it's about them. It's all about them. Them being like famous coaches, and everyone talking about them being a good coach, and their face being everywhere, them doing all the interviews, where Jamie and Nigel, they generally don't care about that. And with us, it doesn't matter if you're undisputed champion, you're a British champion, or you're doing a sixth rounder, every single one of us is treated the same. And I think that's what makes him such a good coach. And they just care about the fighters, win or lose, then they're never going to like turn their back on you. But I definitely think Jamie, like, he needs a lot more credit than what he gets. And Nigel, what they do for all of us is unbelievable. And I think if you look now just at my fights and the tactics that we pull out from my fights with Mary McGee, Jessica McCaskill, and how they can just adapt my style and get me to box different styles of fights with different opponents. And then you look at Jack Catwell and Josh Taylor, you see that how good they are at actually making game plans and getting us to execute
it. Yeah, look, it's worked. It's worked so far. It could be, and he should be, double undisputed. He should have two undisputeds in a camp, which would, I think, the first trainer in history, I think. And honestly, it would be incredible. Shen, good luck. Well done. If it's not Katie Taylor next, then fingers crossed it is Jessica McCaskill. I think you'll take her belts from about 147 as well. But regardless, good luck in the future for wherever it is. We'll be here supporting you, no doubt about that. All right, listen to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we're going to look ahead to some of the weekend's action, including, and look, we have to call it what it is, it's a bizarre fight between 50-0 Floyd Mayweather and YouTube sensation Deji.
Where I'm at. Without boxing, I wouldn't have been able to make the certain investments and build generational wealth.
like I said before, what's so important is us giving back to the sport of boxing, and I will always give back to the sport of boxing first. Boxing is a driving force.
Yeah, Floyd is back in the ring again. Another exhibition fight. This time he takes on KSI's younger brother, Deji. That's in Dubai. It's this Sunday. It's a decent little fight card as well, by the way. I mean, Delphine Bassoon's on the fight card. If you're talking serious boxers, she's there. She's fighting. So it should be entertaining. Floyd will win this with one arm tied behind his back and maybe even both arms tied behind his back. If I'm honest with you, that he's that clearly that good. But it's going to be entertaining nonetheless. Gareth A. Davis caught up with Floyd Mayweather and started by asking Floyd about how he feels to be inspiring a new generation of boxing fans just by fighting in these exhibition fights.
If you guys don't know, I'm basically the pioneer of exhibitions. I've started this. This is something that I started, and I also started both, you know, because it's a combat sport. So I was able to mix a boxer with an MMA fighter and mix that also. And I also, you know, as far as just doing exhibitions, traveling all around the world doing exhibitions. So I feel I'm the pioneer of doing it.
I think you were doing it the last 10 years of your boxing career, by the way.
A little bit.
From Canelo onwards, you were kind of doing exhibitions.
Well,
there's no one. Listen, I've covered you for 25 years.
Thank you.
No one with those skills on earth.
Well, you know, I'm truly, truly blessed, and you know, I can never overlook anyone. I want to say thank you to all the fans from around the world that have supported me. I wouldn't be where I'm at without the fans. And so many people work this behind the scenes.
And are you serious about coming here in February? Because we'd love to see you in the UK in a big stadium, Wembley Stadium.
I've been talking with Ken. Hopefully we're able to come over here and make it happen, you know, in due time. We just don't know.
You'll never give it up, will you?
I don't have to fight. I don't have to fight.
Yeah, but you still love it.
No.
You don't love it anymore.
No. It's a quick pickup, have something to do. It keep me in shape.
He's right though, isn't it? Quick pickup, and he's in great shape, especially, what is he, 45 now? Let's hear from his opponent on Saturday, Deji. YouTube boxing has done a lot to bring attention to the sport from younger fans and integrate them with the hardcore fans. That's what he said.
I feel like with crossover boxing, YouTube boxing, I feel like obviously there are going to be people who are upset about it, thinking that we're making a mockery of the sport. But truth to be told, we're working hard, we're training, we're putting in the hours, we're dedicating our lives to boxing.
Yeah.
And it's, like I said, you can tell the people who are and the people who aren't from a mile away. So in terms of, I feel like we're actually somewhat helping the sport because we're bringing more eyes to the sport.
That's the question, isn't it? People have had those debates and arguments. Is it doing the sport more damage? Is it good for the sport? I still feel like I'm somewhere in the middle. But I will say this about the YouTubers, the big ones as well, the Dejis, the Jake Pauls, the KSIs. They don't need to be doing this. These guys are millionaires and make millions doing whatever they want to do. So the fact that they are willing to get in the ring and risk health, let's be honest, I mean, it's not easy. Credit to them. Are you caught up with both? That was your interviews there, speaking to Deji and Floyd. Quickly, on the Floyd one, you asked him that question, you're going to be doing this, and I'm with you. He's going to keep doing this forever. He seemed to almost be like, well, I'll do it when I need to, when the money's right, but I think he loves it. And he's almost like he doesn't want to admit to himself that he's addicted to this sport.
Addy, you heard him when I said I've covered you for 25 years and there's no one with the skills you've got on earth. And it just, it's nice to remind Floyd of what you've seen him do, you know. He's thrilled me. It was always a thrill to watch him live. He is so fast. He is so erudite in the ring. He is genuinely the professor of hit and not be hit.
And
he can take on all styles. And he had a big grin on his face when I was saying that to him. It was videoed as well. And it's always nice to see him. You know, it's always nice to see him. And I was trying to make the point to him that doesn't matter if the 10.7 million subscribers that Deji's got believe that he's going to knock Floyd out, which they believe because they're fervent fans of his. What's fascinating is they are seeing a master craftsman at the end of his kind of athletic life, if you like, and he's still brilliant. Deji may not lay a glove on him all night, and that's the big issue.
I want him to, because, you know, it's the same exhibition fight that he had recently where the guy actually tried to hit him and did, and Floyd was like, okay, no more exhibition, I'm just going to hit you back. So I wouldn't mind Deji to go for it. Land one somewhere on the body, on the knee, anything. Just land one, and Floyd to then turn up the gears, and for us to kind of see, because he's still got it, let's be honest, for us to see a bit of Floyd not playing around. I don't want to see a glorified sparring session. I want to see a fight.
And the funny thing is, you said just now about these guys don't need to do this Deji, KSI, the Paul brothers. Look what Logan Paul did the other day in WWE tore his ACL. Like, he threw himself into it. They're not playing at this. They're doing it. So good luck to them is what I say. Yes, it's a bit juvenile at times. But, you know, and Floyd felt like the granddaddy up there on stage at the Your Call Bethnal Green. And he, you know, he does his bits and pieces that he's meant to do. And he lets the youngsters run around and play their games. But Deji respects him deeply, I tell you that.
He certainly does. Gareth, as always, my man, thank you very much. We didn't even get to talk about some of the great fights we've got coming up this weekend. Denzel Bentley versus Alim Kunali, Sonny Edwards versus Felix Alvarado, and UFC 281 as well. Adesanya versus Pereira. That there is going to be something special. Let's not forget, Adesanya's coming into that fight, having fought Pereira twice, once by knockout defeat and another one he lost on points, so he's looking for a bit of revenge. But we'll recap all that next week, Tuesday. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.